Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With insuremyvan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at insuremyvan.ie.
Yeah, welcome along. It is, it's the podcast and everything. The reason you don't hear PJ is because he's currently looking at his phone. We're waiting for him to get off his phone.
No, I'm done now, yeah.
Are you finished, are you? Nice of you to join us.
Ah, shut up, you. You're always giving me grief. Every time. I can't even do a fart in here without somebody saying I'm not behaving myself.
Yeah, I mean, it's
unbelievable.
It is out of order, actually, isn't it? To be in work and people expecting you to be in work.
Everyone's picking on me all the time these days. I'll tell you something.
It's not fair.
No, it's not fair.
Yeah. You know what's wrong with this place? It's gotten too bloody professional.
That's what's
wrong.
That is the problem.
What happened to the old days?
There was none of that before you joined this show, I tell you that much. We were going down the toilet with a smile on our face.
And happy to do it.
Having all down the jacks. No one was happy, but at least we were doing nothing. And then you came along with the big...
Let's do a show, let's get it right.
Tell you something. Jim was like the SAS parachuted into this to make sure. And well, one fella got assassinated and everything. It was unbelievable trying to make things
happen.
That's
not true.
That is, tell you something.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, heading into the weekend, right?
Yes.
I know we mentioned this on the show, that PJ has a big cork head in him for this weekend.
I do have a big cork head in him for Ireland.
Now, I mentioned on the show that you have Cork heritage. Don't you?
I was born in Cork.
Yeah.
I was born there. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So that was...
They don't want to claim you're at, and they gave you away to Dublin, but that's not the point.
But that's what Cork people do. This is what Cork people do, right? Here's what Cork people do, right? You're not a real dub show, you're one of us, sir. You can't get away from me. I tell you, you can take the Cork. My nose is the Cork, but you can't take the Cork. All this, right?
Yeah.
And you go, okay, yeah, I'm for Cork. I'm from Cork. And they go, you're not from Cork. Still, you dirty dub.
You bloody Jackie.
You're only a fake Cork, man. Big, yeah.
You
can't win. That's Cork all over. You can't win. Cork won't let you have it.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember I used to go down to Cork doing gigs years ago, right? And you'd walk into the venue and no shit. It was straight away. It was like, you don't get nothing easy in Cork. We give you a hard time here now. You'll have to fucking walk for tonight. Bye. Right, all that, right?
Yeah.
You do the gig. Every time, it was one of the best gigs of the tour.
Right.
Every single gig, right?
Yeah.
And then at the end you go, I told you, we wouldn't give it to you any day. You were told to walk out for that. I really didn't. That was just great fun.
Yeah.
You know? But that's just the way it is.
Wow.
Cork is Texas. Cork is Texas.
It's mad, isn't it?
It's the biggest, furthest south, and they think they're the capital.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, is there any other county that's very kind of, you know... I'm not, now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Cork is insular. That's not what I meant. I wasn't saying that at all.
Oh, I am.
No.
I'm saying it.
You're saying
it. Oh, they're mad about themselves. They're mad about themselves.
Is there anywhere else that has that sort of legend that goes around it? Do you know what I mean?
There's only
us in Cork, isn't there? Dubs in Cork.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Nobody else is quite as up themselves. Well, Mayo a little bit when it comes to maybe
Mayo,
GAA or something.
And the Nordies as a group.
Nordies in general.
Kerry's very much...
is it though?
In the same way Dublin is, it's very up itself when it comes to sport anyway.
Oh right, okay.
Definitely, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the cute hooerisms and all, you know.
Although to be fair to us Dubs, we're up ourselves about everything.
Well, that's how I don't deny that. That's the whole point of Dublin, is to upset everyone around you.
We do absolutely believe we're superior in pretty much all aspects of life.
Yeah, but there's great crack in that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even when you don't think it, just doing it to annoy people, you know,
it's
patronise people. Hell, you're getting on down here. Yeah. Have you ever seen a double decker bus? Have you? You lose your bleeding mind. It'd be like going on a roller coaster for ye, lo. You know that kind?
Yeah.
Do you ever need a burger with your hands? Like, do you bring a knife and fork to McDonald's? You have bleeding tick. You know, what do you do down here on the weekend anyway? I suppose, huh?
Wow.
Marry your cousins or something, isn't it? It's this constant wind up that drives people mad, you know.
It does,
And the assumption of
I don't even think if it's the capital city thing. I think it's just
it's a Dublin.
It's just
an inherent Dublin is where the capital of the country. Oh yeah, what's it like for you coming up here? See the engine of the country moving, huh?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Come up and see the people who are keeping you alive, paying your taxes for you.
Yeah. Sure, we pay for everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
97.9% of all the money in the country is in Ireland. Dublin. Well, we call it Ireland. You call it Dublin.
Because
the outskirts.
Because if you're in London to England isn't the same thing at all. Because if anything, they nearly get ridiculed by the North.
Yeah, they
North
do.
The North of England.
Yeah.
They're regarded as kind of softies and whatever.
There's all of that. Yeah. And it's no wonder they don't like us around the country. And everywhere's the country, you know.
Yeah.
I'm from Belfast. What's all on your blame, bugger? Bogfast, that's what I call it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'd be up there chasing cows and all. You're up there with that, you and all. Yeah. Your cows wear long and sausages up there. Sausages. Yeah. You know that.
And you're right, you don't even have to go that far. Somebody could turn around and say to you, like, whatever, I'm from Greystones or something.
I'm Holt.
Holt? And they go, yeah.
What even is that?
Well, in the country and all, eh?
Yeah,
what are you talking about? I get on a Dublin bus.
You know, now eating raw fish and everything. That's what you'd be doing out there, yeah? Yeah,
wow.
I know. I love the rivalries of it, though. And even within Dublin, we don't like each other. That's why nobody else likes us. We don't even get on with each other in Dublin.
Yeah. And it's not like
north side, south side, east and west.
I was
just
going to say, it's not like in other places where it's a sporting thing.
No.
Like in Liverpool, with Liverpool and Everton, or City and United. It's not that. North side, south side in Dublin's a very different thing.
Very different beast,
and I'm not really sure what it's just
it doesn't even exist along those lines.
It's meant to be rich-poor, isn't it?
But it's not anymore.
No.
The rich-poor in Dublin is east-west now. It's very much east-west, isn't it?
What's that now?
As in, coastal Dublin is where the money is now.
Right.
So east Dublin's
just
where...
Just want to point out, PJ lives by the coast.
Well, I don't. I mean, I'm not going to...
Literally almost in the sea.
Well, all my staff are from West Dublin.
Well done. Well done. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah, and then, but West Dublin is, you know, so it's changed. You know, it has changed, as in the old shift of north and south is now
right.
East and west, I think, if you look at it that
way. I never thought of it like that.
Yeah, if you think of it that way. But it's still, there's like a culture.
What I know, sure, I'm still, you know.
I know, but you're up in the hills there. You don't even wear shorts since the pub up your way. Just put a tie on around your neck and go bare nipples for an old jar. Up in the hills and all. Me fellas are britches. They don't even take their trousers down to go to the toilet down. They just open flaps. Unbelievable old spot altogether, you know.
Shock
what I mean?
Carry on.
Yeah. Tell you,
it's a good job I'm up there to help him.
He says this like it's normal. He went for a pint with a goat last year. He actually went for
the goat went for a pint with me.
Well, there you go. Either way, he had a jar with a goat.
But anyway, yeah, you were saying.
But there's still like a cultural north side south side thing, isn't there?
Yeah,
there still is. Although I will say, having lived on both sides, right, and very much being a north side of myself, I will say it's purely a north side thing. I do think so.
Southsiders actually have the north side sort of down your nose thing.
When I moved to Dunleary, right?
Yeah.
Genuinely, I'd be here every day in the north side talking to him, go see me man all. And everyone's like, I don't know how you live over there. Like you were talking about living in Kent or something, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how you live over there. I couldn't do it. They're it's different. It's not the same. You know what I mean? That's just different. They'd be eating their toast first or putting their milk in before the tea. I don't know what they do. I don't like it. Be all that, you know. And you're on the south side, you say you're from.
Yeah.
Nobody says anything. It's just not. No one cares.
Ah, yeah, but you see, no. I'm not having that. That was you, because you say you're from the north side and they go, oh, really? What part of the north side are you from? And you go, Clontarf. And they go, oh, well, sure, look at it. It's basically just an enclave of the south side on the north side.
Yeah.
You get a very different reaction if you're like me and they turn around and say,
you can see us from the coast.
If you turn around and you say, I'm from Finglas, and they go, oh, right. How did you escape, old boy?
Pick up the bags.
That's because you had your Clontarf head.
I don't.
But
think
let's
it
face
is.
It, that was obviously just an accident of the Dublin gods.
An accident that I ended up spending time in Clontarf.
No, you should have been. Clontarf should have been a south side place, like Holt and where you are now.
Well, you know, there was going to be a trade off there for a while. You know, there was negotiations to swap Tala.
Give us back Tala.
We'll take Tala, you take Clontarf. But there was too much land in Tala. They knew they were going to lose out. This is no, we're staying where we are.
Oh, man. And there is that in Cork, though, isn't there? Didn't you tell me, like, isn't there parts of Cork? Well, like Montanossi or whatever.
Not Cork is very much split into north side, south side as well.
Right.
But again, it's not straightforward. It's very much the same. So, because Montanossi,
right.
You know, help my son, the surgeon is drowning. You know, that's the old joke in Cork.
Exactly.
Montanossi, the fanciest part up on the hills, is in the north side of the city. So,
right.
So you tell, it's never as clear cut as people would like to think it is, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it's still where Norris, you know, they say Norris in Cork, that they're very pro.
So,
when
we were down in Cork, did we stay up around Montanotti? Where was the hotel we were in?
I can't remember.
We were we're definitely up a hill. Could have been anywhere.
I can't remember where we. Oh yes, we stayed in the north side. We played a military hill, yes,
right?
Which is right. It's pretty much Montanotti, yeah.
Is it?
So we stayed in fancy ass Cork. We did, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a mad place we stayed in. Do you remember that? Maybe a man that was working there in the hill. and all that.
The Night Porter lad.
Yeah, all that change and all disappearing and everything.
Was kind of, was, yeah. Yeah, it was a strange character. Do you think he made those sandwiches himself?
I don't know what happened there. That was a strange old place.
Yeah.
That was the night we were working, remember? And there was one fella came up to it. He was sitting there talking. And one of the presenters at the time. You know the way somebody be talking? They don't realise they're talking too much. Like I'm probably doing right now. And we were there, and your mum was there yabbering on. Yeah, and it was one of them nerds he had. He's like, look at this box. This box has a memory folding. You can push 25 gigabytes of terminal memory into this. Your mum just turns and goes, shut up, David. Just shut up. Shut up. And there was that mad silence.
That's right.
And everyone just gone real quiet.
Yeah,
how'd you do it?
And his response.
He goes, I was very hurt by that. Yeah, I have to tell you the truth. And secretly people loving it because it's great drama in it, you know. Yeah, yeah.
Mad, yeah.
But just that thing, it's amazing power to just get this look at someone. Shut up. Just shut up,
it's
David.
Just, it's so...
Shut up.
It's I don't know. I was going to say it's rare. I mean, obviously, to the likes of me, it would be mad rare.
Because we listen to people say, ah.
Yeah, and normally it's sort of like, even if you're bored out of your head or whatever, you normally kind of just... You try and get yourself out
soon,
of there.
It'll be over
you,
soon, yeah.
Yeah, you suck it up. Out
make eyes for someone to come over to you or whatever. Yeah.
Well, for somebody to actually get to the stage where they have to literally turn around and say...
Shut up! Just shut up! Stop talking! Shut up! Christ! David, fucking hell, man. Please just shut up.
It's still one of the greatest ever.
Unbelievable. Oh, amazing,
isn't it? Oh, man, I loved it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I like that, the silent.
Mind you, I thought that happened in Galway. I thought that was when we were in Galway opposed to in Cork.
You're right. No, I have it wrong. Now I'm after telling the story. It has no relevance to anything.
Doesn't matter. It was a good story.
Yeah.
In fairness, we did. I mean, look, we had... It's very unusual, right, for us as a group to be... socialising.
Yeah.
Not because we don't like each other. Ah, that's only half the story.
Well, we don't want to see more of each other, that's for sure.
But sometimes you're forced into it. And you know what I mean? And
well, that was back then. We used to be forced into these social situations. We did. It used to be a part of the job once a month. Or once every 3 months. We used to go do these things. We had to go and hang out at these places. And nobody really was mad about it, you know.
Yeah.
And it got particularly embarrassing because at one stage then they used to make us sing on stage. They used to make us do this thing they called jockaroke, right?
Yeah.
Where we had to go up and sing karaoke. But everything about it was bollocky. Because remember the karaoke machine, the lyrics.
Fancy dress, don't forget.
And the lyrics used to come on behind you. So you had to turn around.
Yeah, back to the audience.
If you didn't know the thing. And they put us in fancy dress and everything.
Oh my God. Some of the outfits were.
Fucking. One particular.
Unrecognisable.
When I turned up, I was supposed to be Freddie Mercury. And it's very easy to dress as Freddie Mercury because you put a moustache on, yellow leather jacket. You hold a half a cane.
That's it.
Right, that's it. You're Freddie Mercury.
You're done.
Right? Everyone goes, right. Your man that was with me, Damien, he was supposed to be David Bowie, right? And he didn't know what to put him in. So I put him in a blue, whole pastel coloured suit with a frilly front on it. And
he actually, look, the easiest way to describe
it. You know, he's a normal man from Meath.
The easiest way to describe it is if you've seen Dumb and Dumber when they show up in the tuxedos, think of the Jim Carrey one in pale blue.
Yeah.
That's what he was in.
So he looked like Dumber. Just Dumber, no Dumb. And he had to do that, and he was like, and he was so not into it. And that makes it funny then.
Yeah.
Because someone's
nobody
there.
Nobody could understand who he was meant to be.
And he's there, this is ridiculous, isn't it? Look at the stage of me. And you can't say you don't look a state. Because we all look a state, but we're identifiable states. He kind of looked like that might have been what he chose to wear out that night, you know. That's what made it the worst.
Yeah, because
you know?
That is a good point, actually, because there was a lot of people who would show up to these events and they would choose, because it wasn't obligatory,
they'd dress up in 80s gear.
Yeah, or whatever, or in some cases, Christmas gear middle of July.
Yeah, what the bleeding japers was going on? And anyway,
it was all sorts.
So he looked like it was very particularly embarrassing for him.
Yeah.
That and Niall Boylan being made to dress up as Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
One of the funniest things.
This is ridiculous. I'm sweating.
Holding his wig in his hands. You know, the Michael Jackson one. And he was going like, this is absolutely outrageous. You know, that was, I felt sorry for him that night,
oh
I have
my
to say.
God.
Yeah. Oh, that was terrible.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a good job, a bit of time's passing. It's like all traumas, really. When enough time passes,
it becomes funny. Because we weren't finding it funny at the time.
No one was laughing
at the time.
Especially the one you stormed out of.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, I stormed off.
Well, it's hilarious now.
Oh, I threw me knickers out of the pram that day. Yeah.
Stormed off and all.
I stormed off. I had to disappear. I had to go and take air.
It was like a kid running away from home.
Yeah.
He made it down to the end of the street, waited for a while, and
waited
then got talked
and then
back in.
I got talked back in. It was like one of those when you storm off and you're like, what I've seen happen to a certain comedian, and it was the same as that. I stormed off. Well, I'm out of here. This is bullshit. Now I have to go back for my jacket. And look, like I still am angry, but not that angry. But it's hope nobody says to me,
That is the worst.
Here he is now with the knickers in his wrist, you know.
It's like, I mean, it's like if you had a massive row with your other half.
Yeah, yeah.
And you stormed out of the house and suddenly realised you've no keys for the car, you've no money to even get a bus.
You can't even get chocolate.
You can't go anywhere. Yeah. And you forgot your jacket. It's starting to rain.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, jeez.
You're like, now she's in there just watching telly, having a tea. I have to go back now.
Yeah.
And you walk in.
We're not quite sure who won that argument.
Yeah, you're just walking, all right. You're like, oh, that's a... Sorry, right? I didn't mean to be a fucking idiot, okay? That's all I'm saying. I'm sorry. You're not going to say it back, or is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I'm sure we're both sorry. You're probably sorry, are you?
Not really.
Right. Well, look, I'd say we're both sorry. Let's just say we were both in the wrong there. Yeah. Well, no, actually, I didn't think I did anything wrong.
Look,
we've all made
mistakes. Everyone's made a mistake here tonight. Let's say no more about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just want to. Yeah. Shut up now. Let me be ashamed. Yeah. In silence.
Glory days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With insuremyvan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at insuremyvan.ie.
The dream job, depending on what you're heading into at the moment. I mean, are you heading into your own dream job? Is what you do, the thing you've always wanted to do. Living the dream, literally. Because it appears as though there is a list of, what are referred to as fantasy jobs.
Jobs that we fantasise about. So I suppose they're not like your dream job when you are young and all. I want to be an astronaut or a cowboy. It's more like, what do you fantasise? If you're like another more everyday job that you... God, I wish I was doing that.
Because that's the thing about it.
I wish I was doing that
they're
now.
They're referred to fantasy as fantasy jobs, but they're actually... They're not sort of out there type jobs. They're very, as you say, normal jobs.
Well, yeah, well, the number one is a teacher. Right, that's the number one job. People say, but you know something? I'm going to go out on a limb here. People do not fantasise about being a teacher. People were asked, what job do you fantasise about now? And they thought, it's the middle of summer. I wish I wasn't working.
Exactly.
And they just fantasise. People who have no teaching experience, no will to impart knowledge, no ability to impart knowledge, no interest in children whatsoever. But they say a teacher because they don't want to work in July. That's my own thinking.
I have a feeling that you might be right on that. That survey was obviously, carried out in the middle of summer, and somebody thought, God, if I was a teacher now, I wouldn't be doing anything.
Yeah, and I'm going to go on.
I mean, because the other side of that is, surely to God, somebody would turn around and go, with kids and all, and they'd go, oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot about the kids. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Scratch that.
Yeah, they go, oh, no, I wouldn't want to be a teacher in September.
Not at all, no. Yeah. Not when the kids are in.
I'd love to be a teacher through the summer, and then when it gets to Christmas,
Yeah.
And then when the midterms come along, that's when people want to be teachers. And I do think I'm right about people just wanting to not be on the clock, because the number two choice of a fantasy job is a writer. Because people imagine that writers don't actually do anything. They're sitting around thinking about their next book and not actually sitting down writing their next play or book or show. Yeah.
They also assume that writing isn't difficult.
Yeah, exactly. You're just whimsically putting down the first thing that comes to your mind and it's worth loads and loads of money.
They don't think about torturous writer's block and, pressure for deadlines and having to get something in on time and everything.
And editors going, that's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. And you go,
well, that's a bit harsh.
Well, that's a year of my life.
But that's terrible. What's actually happened. Well, yes, well, it's boring writers again.
Write it
but
better.
But it's the truth.
Nobody wants the truth.
That is true as well. Everybody thinks writers just kind of,
do whatever they want.
Sip coffee and look wistfully out windows while they.
Oh yeah, I'll do an hour.
All these plots come flooding into their minds.
Yeah, yeah, I'll eat a panini and I'll do an hour while I'm still finishing my coffee and that'll be me for the day.
Yeah.
That's not the case. That's not what it's like. And then it's an artist at number three. More of the same. More of the same.
Yeah.
I can do a matchstick man or whatever. It's not even art anymore. Some fella just hammering a stake to a wall. Or whatever it is.
That would, yeah. Mind you, that would kind of inspire you now. When you see some of the things that get away that were being called art.
Oh, yeah.
You would be tempted to have a go.
Well, the fella who literally...
Remember the pile of bricks?
The pile of bricks and the banana that was sellotaped to the wall. Do you remember that?
And the unmade bed.
The unmade bed. Yeah. Art every morning. I tell you something, Jim McCabe does art every single morning. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. After that, it gets a little bit more serious. Now we're into proper fantasy jobs. But I do think... It's men. I do believe, honestly, I think the first three, it's probably women and men just wanting an easier life.
Right.
Where it slowly starts to become things that men think about when they're on their own. Secret agents and all. You know.
That's the fantasy job.
Yeah.
Being a secret agent.
Yeah, yeah. So you have a fella, you know, you have Derek there.
That's going right back to when the lad said, I want to be a cowboy.
Isn't it? Yeah. It is, isn't it? You're just daydreaming. You have a boring job, so you're just daydreaming. You know, you're just there going, imagine someone came in here and says, we need a guy who knows a lot about stationery to work for the Russian government.
Yeah.
And
because, again, that's another one of those things where they think secret agents kind of, you know, mysterious and glamorous, and there's probably, you know...
James Bond. And
exactly, they think James Bond.
It's James Bond.
What about the people who want to kill you and all? Did you think about that?
Yeah, but I have a watch that you press a button on it and their head blow off. You know.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and then it's like, you know, a secret agent, a police officer, but they don't really mean it, a police officer. They mean it as in, you know, two detectives going around in a car together.
Yeah.
Sussing out the bad guys. You know, they're not thinking about, you know.
Where every crime is wrapped up in one episode.
Yeah. You know, it's that, isn't it? They're not thinking about repeated calls to some people. And all the hassle that goes with the job.
Did you ever have a... actually, is your job on it? Comedian or general it boy or celebrity or...
No.
That sort of...
No, Jeepers, not at all.
None of those things in it. No. Actor. Is actor in it? No,
that's not on it. No, unless you'd qualify that under artist. But I think the only people that call me an artist these days is...
Well, there's... Yeah, you know,
it comes with a derogatory term first.
I was just going to say words before it.
And then there's
the acting thing. I think, would I have ever had a fantasy job? Ironically, this was it.
This is your fantasy job.
Just goes to show.
You're proof.
Careful what you wish for, people. That's all I'm saying. Careful what you wish for.
Living proof of don't achieve your dreams. Because you'll get them and it still won't be what you were expecting, you know.
It's true, actually.
Jim Noir in a dream. When as a young boy, when radio wasn't even invented and used to speak into cans, he had a dream.
I knew that was going to take a dark turn.
He said, someday somebody's going to make this can very loud and houses all around the whole kingdom will be able to hear me. And then you thought, I'll have my own show, I'll be there.
I never knew
you'd have to take the village idiot with you. You never knew.
There was a time I thought I'd do this job for nothing. God, I hope nobody involved in accounts or management is listening to that. But there was a time when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, God, you know, that such was the passion.
You do it for
now. Now there's not enough money in the world.
Now you're sitting here going, I wonder if somebody walked in and they needed a radio man to be a secret agent.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
If you're a regular listener to the show, of course, you'll know that I'm regularly on the receiving end of horrific barbs.
Excuse me.
And general levels of abuse. Completely unfounded abuse, of course, about the idea that I am, you know, older than
PJ. Well, yeah, you are a little bit.
Even though it's only a matter of a few years, I guess. Terrible, terrible treatment.
That's true. That's, so, like, it's too much. There's only a couple of decades between us. And it's you know what I mean? It shouldn't be pointed out like that all the time.
So, it's fantastic to see a piece of research in the papers today that suggests that PJ is in exactly the same boat.
Well,
you are literally in my boat in the view of these people. You are old.
Ah, would you go way out of it as only
snappers? That's what they're saying.
Oh, snappers are saying it. Gen Z, according to Gen Z, they've asked, at what age? Because they're the sort of, well, they're the second youngest generation at the moment, aren't they?
What are they now?
They're the demographic born between the mid-90s and early 2010s. So 1997, say, roughly to 2012 is what they're saying.
Right.
Particular Gen Z. They're thereabouts, right?
Okay.
And they asked them, what do you think? But when you get old, what is an old? When you're officially, basically a pensioner on your feet, you know, decrepit, walking around, potentially going to die at any minute. Maybe the question wasn't phrased that
way. I was just going to say, it mightn't have been quite as strong as that.
No, but they did say 35.
35
is it? 35! You're over the hill. You're over the hill, you're goosed, you're done, you're gone. Your life must be together or it never will. 35 is what they said. Is over the hill. Some of them did say, like about 35% of them, but the majority said that, said 40 is the age when your youth is completely and utterly expired. And it, yeah.
What happens when life begins and everything?
Well, youth expires and life begins. That's what they seem to think. And there was a very short, small amount of them as well that said, no, that you actually can stay young until the age of 60. So poor Jim's out of that one as well.
I am not out of that one. the weird thing about it is, right, so those people who said 35, you said that the Gen Z goes up to 2012.
Yeah.
So you're saying somebody who's 23 considers 35, which is only...
Yeah, they think they're running out of time.
Oh my God.
They're 23.
Thinks
they're
that's old.
Yeah, they're like counting down the days. They're like, oh no, they're like, they're 23 years old. They're going, oh, look at the state of me now. Starting to creep in. I'm getting a bit of arthritic overtones.
Because you know what's weird about that is that, you know, nowadays, I mean, you're a prime example. Like, old people are having kids and everything. And, people do things like late, you know, people get married later, people have families later.
All of that.
So I'm surprised that the Gen Z consider 35 old.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
That is I mean, 35, come on.
35.
I mean, okay.
35.
If you go far enough back.
Life expectancy was 46 or something. Then you go 35. You're definitely on the last days. You know, anything could have happened. But nowadays, honestly,
as well as that, Gen Z. I don't know whether Gen Z are particularly into their celebrity kind of. If that's a thing for a Gen Z. Age demographic, celebrities. I mean, surely to God, like, you know, the amount of celebrities look absolutely fantastic Well, way beyond 35.
I know, but what they're saying is, look at them, they're 35. Can you believe it? And they still look like that. How do they do it? They must have sold their soul to the devil to look like that at 35. Literally an old age 35ers doing that now, and they look so together.
Oh, my God.
How rare, you know? Maybe they're going...
Oh, but life expectancy as well. Everything just goes against it. Like, life expectancy is more than it's ever been.
Now.
It's into the 80s, virtually. Certainly for women, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's slightly longer for women, yeah.
And then they're still thinking you're... So you spend more of your life being old then, do you?
You spend most of your life being old.
Wow.
Two-thirds of your life are old.
Gen Z is a depressing place to be, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Mind you,
can't get a house and I'm going to be old for ages.
Well, there you go. I think, to be honest, Jim, that makes us the golden generation. I'm just going to say ourselves and millennials, actually, I think the golden generation, because we're the generation that never felt old, right?
Yes.
Our old fellas and all.
Still waiting to feel old.
Our parents, like, they were old at 12. They were getting married and all at 13.
Yeah.
You know, my old fella had a comb over at 15. You know that way. We're wearing a full suit down the beach and all at 16. That's the way they were. Married and all.
That's house true, bought. Actually. Lads got into suits in their teens and never got out of
and
them.
Never got out
no
of them.
No matter what job they did.
Even if they were on building sites, they were still rocking around in their suit trousers and whatever, you know? So though they were old from the start.
Yeah.
And then we came along. I have to say, look at us.
Well, I mean, let's face it. I mean, is there anybody more down with the kids?
I don't think so. I mean, our generation of jazzy cats hit the street and the whole world just didn't know how to deal with our beat. And here we are, still being the cool kids on the ring road.
How could anybody consider that to be old?
Seriously, get down with my jam, everybody. Get down with my jam. And now these youngsters, they don't know how to play the cool ice. Not like us. Tell you that much, Slippy Jim.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
You do sometimes need a little prompt, don't you? Sometimes, even the most, you know, run-of-the-mill, day-to-day kind of things, they can, you know, you can forget them momentarily.
You can't.
Your mind goes blank.
And it's very normal. People start questioning themselves. They say, geez, I'm stupid. I'm always, you're not stupid. You're not stupid. There's scientific explanations that get us to these places. This is proper now. This is from a university in America, right? The University of Notre Dame, as they call it. And they have explained, finally, the doorway effect. Now, what is the doorway effect? Well, you know when you go, I'm going to go into the room and get me hat, or you have something in your hand and you're going to go and do something.
Mm.
And you walk from one room into another and you go, what the name of Jays am I doing here? What's I come in here for? And everyone's going, well, we don't know. What I came in to do? What am I doing in here? Oh, for God's sake. You know, and you can't remember. It's gone.
Yeah.
And you have to wait until that thought comes back. It might be days before you have the thought again. And you think, it's just, I'm absent-minded, I'm busy, I'm stressed. It's not. It's a phenomenon called the doorway effect. So they call it when you cross an event boundary, right?
Ooh.
So if you travelled the same distance to do something in one room, they say you wouldn't forget it. But when you've travelled an allotted distance, the same distance in two rooms, you cross the event boundary.
Wow.
So when you go from one room to the next...
It's like a science fiction movie.
Isn't it?
We've crossed the event horizon.
Yes, and who knew?
And don't know what we're doing.
I tell you. That's why I even go into the toilet sometimes and forget if I came in for number one or two. So you cross a doorway and it acts as a physical and a psychological barrier, and the brain interprets that as the end of one event and the beginning of another event. So as you cross the doorway, your memory drops anything that it deems irrelevant up until that point as an act of survival, an act of moving on, a step of going into the future. And it drops all the unnecessary information. You've crossed the event boundary. And that's what it is. Now, luckily, there are ways to address the event boundary and how to not fall for this old hack, right?
Also, does it specify why it only happens sometimes? Why you don't forget everything every time you go into a different room?
Yes.
Right.
Luckily it's us. So
okay.
If you say to someone, I'm going into the room to get me ha, right?
Okay.
You've now said it out loud, and that's a way to beat it, right? So if you say it out loud, and they said that's what, even if you're on your own, to stop this happening, you should say it to something. Say it to a picture on the wall. I'm going to get my jacket in the room. And you won't forget it then.
Right.
Because you've said it out loud.
To be fair, it would have to be happening to you a lot for you to take it to those levels, where you would stand in an empty room and talk to the lamp and go, I'm going in to get my keys. If I'm not back, call for help.
Well, Jim, I hate to say it, but you're about to hear a lot more of my inner thoughts.
Oh, wow.
Because this is how I'm going to have to address it. I'm going to have a wee and make a piece of toast. Why are you telling me? I'm not, Jim. I'm telling myself.
And also, why are you going to do those two things in the same room?
Because I always wee in the sink when I'm waiting for my toast.
That's brilliant. You went for two things. Yes.
Yes.
Which room are you going into to do those two things? Are you making toast in the toilet or what?
I can't. I'm not
at liberty to say.
The other way is to, when you say you're going to do these things, you automatically visualise yourself already having done it, right? So you make a mental picture or mental video in your head of already having done it, and you've set your intention so it's less likely to drop out of your head once you cross the event boundary.
Right.
Which is a doorway. Once you go through a door. When you go through a door, less likely, you know, to do it then.
The event boundary.
Yes, yeah. And that's from now on, all doors shall be known as event boundaries in here. That's
shut
what we're
that event boundary over there. There's a draft coming in.
There's a memory coming back.
I mean, how often would this happen to you? It doesn't, I mean...
Every day.
I know.
Oh,
every
yeah.
day. But you'd walk in somewhere and go, what am I doing here? Well, mind you, I mean, to be fair...
Yeah, I'd say every day.
You walk in here every day and I go, God, what's he doing here?
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
What kind of transport did Queen want to ride in their 1978 hit? What do you ride that's on wheels? What do you ride on wheels?
Horse.
I'm not a horse, you lunatic. It's a bike.
Oh, I'll tell you. A horsicle. You want to ride me horsicle. Brilliant.
Oh, love it.
Fair play to you, Stephen. Right. Jerry's been on to say, a family's life ruined by PJ. Yeah, it's the controversy.
You're just making a meal
of
this now.
No, it's not. I just responded to
that. That didn't even happen.
Tony the Greenkeeper has been on as well, saying, not since the Henri handball has there been such a travesty.
That's not...
That poor family. I know.
Are you not going to give Anna any credit at all for winning it?
Well, I'll tell you something.
Not going to give her any credit at all.
Poor El Gary and his kids there. Sobbing into their cornflakes.
You're outrageous.
Anyway, and look, you know, you just have to accept sometimes life can be like that. Sometimes you get disappointments. Like, for example, if you're a fan of Steve Miller, Steve Miller Band. I mean, check this out for levels of disappointment.
Steve Miller Band, they were about to set off on their US tour. They had 31 dates over the coming months.
Mm.
And coming months is important to note in this. So they were about to set off. They've cancelled the tour. So the band, they've been together touring, travelling since 1966, and they've released a statement that they say they have to cancel the tour. They have to trust their instincts, they say. It was due to start on the 15th of August, right?
Right.
In New York. And the message, the statement they've released today says, "Dear Steve Miller Band fans, you make music with your instincts. You live your life by your instincts. Always trust your instincts." Okay, we get it. Let's move on, Steve. Right. "The Steve Miller Band has cancelled all of our upcoming tour dates. The combination of extreme heat, unpredictable flooding, tornadoes, hurricanes, and massive forest fires make these risks for you, our audience, the band, and the crew unacceptable. So, blame it on the weather. The tour is cancelled."
And have these things been... Are the weather forecasters predicting these things?
No. Not so, in the slightest.
So you're saying instincts as in, I feel it in me water?
I feel it in me water. Something's going to happen. I feel it. Something's going to happen. I've a bad feeling.
So there's nobody connected with any sort of meteorological events or anything. That are saying, look, oh, there's a risk of flash floods, a risk of forest fires, risk of whatever. No,
no.
None of that is...
No.
But the Steve Miller Band are saying...
I'm telling you now, I just have a feeling.
So they've gone full Nostradamus.
Nostradamus. And that, I'm feeling about one gig. All 31 of them.
Right, all 31 months to come.
For months to come. There's very bad weather expected in November or whatever. Yeah, that's it. I'm not doing it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really a mad excuse. Do you know what it's like? It's like if you meet someone on the road and they go, "Are you coming to... I'm getting married on Friday. I meant to say, come on. Come down." And you go, "Oh, when did you say it is?
Oh, I think they're being struck by lightning.
I think my missus is in space that day. I have to look after the kids. Or is that me knitting emporium? I'm going to the knitting emporium that day. I forgot about it."
Why couldn't they just lie and say, "Oh, somebody's not well," or "somebody's whatever," or there's a...
I don't know. Unless I suppose they're trying to make a point about the state of the world, but use it as an excuse, you know. It's like me going...
Trust your instincts.
It's like me and Jim are taking holidays next week, right? We're taking holidays. Why? Because America's gone mad, right? America's gone mad. And we're taking holiday. We can't. It can't
be dangerous to be on air when the way America is.
Honestly, and have you seen the price of things in town now?
Yeah,
we're not doing work under the we're
world,
not doing it.
The world's gone mad. There's horses with wheels out there.
I fellas have to spend €9 on a pint. I'm not working under that pressure.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie, or on the Nova app.